You are listening to a podcast by Spring Hill Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Spring Hill Church is called to reach everyday people with God's grace, His unconditional love, and the life-changing power of His Word. Thanks for listening, and if you would like more information, you can visit us online at springhill.cc.
This is week number 11 in our series called Keys to Powerful Prayer. We've been looking at a lot of different aspects from the Word of God on prayer. And so let's begin as we have done every single week. Let's look at our foundation scripture together. And again, as I have been doing every week, I'm going to read it to you from three different translations, the New King James Bible, the Amplified Bible, and then finally with the Passion Translation. But that's found in James chapter 5 and verse 16. So James 5:16 in the New King James says this, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." And then focusing on that last phrase, the latter half of that verse in the Amplified Bible, it says this, "The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working." And then finally in the Passion Translation, it says, "For tremendous power is released through the passionate, heartfelt prayer of a godly believer." And so I don't know about you, but I need the power of God in my life. And so the key to entering in and to receiving and opening the door to the power of God in your life is going to be an effectual, fervent prayer life. And so that's what we're talking about. And yeah, I remember I said last week that we would be concluding the series this week. Well, as I got in and was studying what I wanted to cover this week, I found out that we've got more to cover. And so, and then ultimately I want to wrap it up by giving you some very practical things on how to develop your own private prayer life and prayer time with the Lord. And so we've been just basically saying this every week, that your prayer life, prayer is basically all about a two-way communication with your Heavenly Father. It's about you engaging with Him and fellowshipping with Him in prayer. And as we've said, and as we looked at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, in the NIV Bible, the first part of that verse says this, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests." So we've been looking at the different kinds of prayer. There's different principles and rules that apply to the different kinds of prayer, and you need to understand those things. Now again, we separate these things for the means of study, and we don't want to get rigid and clinical and religious with this, but we just need to have a working understanding of the different kinds of prayer so that we know what we're doing as we engage in prayer. And so let me review with you the first six types of prayer that we've covered up to this point. And not going to spend a lot of review. I encourage you to go back and watch the previous sermons on this and download the notes and study these things out for yourself. But the first type of prayer that we looked at was the prayer of faith. This is the prayer of petition, the prayer that changes things. And this is where we pray in faith based upon the Word of God. Then secondly, we looked at the prayer of consecration. This is where we dedicate ourselves to live and fulfill the will, plan, and purpose of God for our lives, where we take our will out of the picture, we focus on His will, and we commit and consecrate ourselves to it. The third type of prayer that we looked at is called the prayer of commitment. And this is where you roll your cares over on the Lord and you, the things that you might be stressed about, you take and you give it to Him. The Bible says we cast them over on Him. And in the Greek language, it paints the picture as if you're throwing a rock or a baseball far from you. And so that's what the prayer of commitment is all about, is casting our worries, our cares, our anxieties over on the Lord. Why? Because He cares for you and me. The fourth type of prayer that we looked at was the prayer of agreement. This is based on Matthew 18:19, where Jesus said, "If any two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them by my Father in heaven." And this is where two believers come together with heart faith, believing and saying and thinking the same thing based on the Word of God, and you pray together and release your faith. God said, well, Jesus promised that He would be right there in the middle of that prayer to see to it that it comes to pass. And it's an awesome, awesome type of prayer. The fifth type of prayer we looked at is corporate or united prayer. And this would be where more than two or three are gathered. This would be a group of people, might be a whole congregation, might be 10, 12, no matter the number. But it's where a group of believers come together collectively in unity, again, speaking and praying the same thing. They're believing God and praying the same thing. We see examples of this throughout the entire Bible, Old and New Testament, where people came together and they prayed together and God responded to their prayers and answered their prayers. Last week, we looked at the prayer of intercession, and the prayer of intercession is where we stand in the gap in prayer between a person and the Lord, and we bring them together. We plead their case before the Heavenly Father. And you might use this type of prayer when praying for people that don't know Jesus, that are lost and need the Lord in their lives. Someone that might be, you receive revelation by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that someone is impending danger. Or perhaps their lifestyle has gotten so far off course, they're going to start bumping into the wages of sin called death. And so we can, by the Holy Spirit, enter into intercession for them and perhaps stop that impending danger or that judgment that is coming on them because of sin in their life. Now, the seventh type of prayer is actually two types of prayer together, and we're going to break this out over the next couple of weeks. This is where, when I started studying this, it just grew and grew and grew, and I knew that I would not be able to cover all of this in one Sunday and one message. And so we're going to first talk about what is praise. Now, praise and worship, I've heard it referred to as the highest type of prayer. There is no prayer that's greater than praise and worship. Somebody said, well, I thought faith was important in all of these. Well, of course it is. It's important in all of these. Your prayer life is based on the foundation of faith, because the scripture says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So faith is involved in all of these. But the prayer of praise and worship is the highest kind of prayer. There is probably more said about praise and worship throughout the entire Bible than the other types of prayer. And so we're going to look at this. We're in no way, shape, or form going to be able to exhaust this. But I want today to look at what is praise, separating praise and worship, because even though they're connected, they are two different things. So we're going to begin to look at that. What is praise? Well, two things. Praise is this: expressing approval or favorable judgment of God. And so to praise God is to approve of Him and to have or express a favorable opinion of Him and show esteem of Him. A good way, and I heard this a long time ago, but a good way to imagine praise is this. Imagine you were going to sit down at your computer and God had asked you to write Him a letter of recommendation representing Him to someone else. Like we would do a letter of recommendation when someone is pursuing a job opportunity. Well, imagine yourself writing a letter of recommendation for God, recommending Him to someone else. Now, another aspect of praise is when we glorify God. And of course, these are two, they're tied together, But you'll see the phrase glorify God throughout the scripture. So what does that mean? Well, to glorify someone is to bestow honor, praise, or admiration. In other words, we give glory to someone, specifically identifying what is admirable in that person, the characteristic traits of them. And so it's though we're telling someone else about the good characteristics of someone. You know, one of the things that we like to do is we talk about, for the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. You find that throughout the scripture. Well, that is glorifying God. It's where we admire and reverence and honor his goodness. You know, in this type of praise, God is recognized as being good, faithful, righteous, just, merciful, and forgiving. You know, a good example of this is found in 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 31. And it says this, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him." So in this one verse, this writer acknowledged three different characteristics of God that are worth honor, and that is this: he's perfect, he is proven, and he is a shield to those who trust in him. And so this person was acknowledging these characteristics of God and glorifying God because of those things. So as we honor God for who he is and for what he's done in our lives, we make room for him. Now listen to this. When you honor God for who he is and what he has done in our lives, you make room for him to work for us and in us every single day. Let me say that to you again. As we honor God for who he is and for what he has done in our lives, we make room for him to work for us and in us every day. So praise is very important. I mentioned to you earlier about how praise builds a habitation. God said in his word that he inhabits the praises of his people. So he wants to move into and live in and work in your praise. So let's spend some time, and I want to just define for you, what does praise look like? You know, if you were looking for it, if you were to walk in a room and you were looking for praise, what does it look like? Well, let's describe this for you. Here's number one. Praise puts God in first place. Praise always puts God in first place, because praise is always about turning our attention off of ourselves and over on to him. Praise is remembering and recounting who he is and what he has done, instead of wallowing in self-pity and self-absorption, being absorbed with ourselves and focused on ourselves all the time. So praise turns our eyes from ourselves over to God. It focuses our thoughts on his majesty, his power, and it invites others to do the same. So when you're in a praise and worship service, there ought to be this type of praise going up, where it's not about us, although we make declarations sometimes and we say, "I will," and so forth. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. But again, the purpose of those declarations in our praise is not so that we get our eyes focused on us. It's that we put our attention onto God and his power. In essence, praise is bragging about God instead of us or the idols of this world. You know, there's a lot of things that are fighting for your attention and your admiration. And praise is when we take our attention off of those things and we put it over on God. Here's number two. Praise flows from our friendship with God. Praise flows from our friendship with God. Now, I want to say this to you. You cannot brag about someone you do not know. At least your bragging can't be truthful and sincere and from your heart. You know, there's people I have never met, but I know some good things about them. I could tell you about them. I could tell you, those good characteristics, but I could only go so far because I truly don't know those people. But when I do know someone and I am deeply acquainted and have a relationship with them, then I can truthfully brag on them and talk about their characteristics because I have experience, I have heartfelt revelation, and I have something that I can talk about from a sincere heart. People who praise God on a regular basis do so because they found the Lord to be altogether good and lovely, and they cannot stop thinking about and talking about Him. You know, think about this for a little while. You know, if you've ever been in love with someone and you're smitten with them, you first get to know them and man, you're in love with that person. Well, you know, they become the person that you think about, you talk about, your attention is focused on them. And it comes from this place in your heart. And so that's what we need to, that's what our relationship with God needs to be like, in that we have found Him to be so good and so kind and so merciful that we can't stop thinking about Him. You know, we've gotten close enough to Him to see His true nature and character, and that we have found in Him more than anything we've ever hoped for. And so that's what really that praise is rooted in. The veil gets pulled back and we begin to see these good things about God. You know, with people, in our relationships with people, we're good at being able to put up facades and masks so that people really don't find out who we are. And so they really can't say that they know us and brag about us or admire us because they really don't know in depth who we are. But in our relationship with God, God's not trying to hide anything from you. He is not putting on masks. He's not pretending. He's not disguising anything. No, the door is wide open. And the scripture says, if we will seek after Him, we will find Him. And so we can know those things about Him. And so although your praise may start with what you know about God, it must go from that to progress to what you yourself have experienced of God. And you know, sometimes that takes some time. It takes some growth in your relationship. But this is the point when praise becomes more than duty and something that we have to do. No, when you get to know your Heavenly Father and you get to know Jesus and how good He is and how good He's been to you and you've got some history with Him, it's easy to praise Him at that point. So praise flows from our friendship with God. Here's number three. Praise is a conscious choice. It's a decision. I'm going to be honest with you. Okay. Now listen to me. There are going to be times when you don't feel like praising God. You know, things aren't going so well. Maybe the circumstances in your life are not going the way you would want them to. Maybe physically you don't feel well. Well, guess what? You're a perfect candidate to praise God when that's going on in your life. See, praise is an act of your will. It's where you make a decision. I am going to praise God. And when you offer God true praise, you make a conscious decision to commend Him, approve of Him, and glorify Him. Now listen to me carefully. Praise is not based on your emotions or your feelings. You need to get that. Praise is not based on your emotions or your feelings. Listen, your emotions or your feelings will follow your praise. So if you're feeling down in the dumps, so to speak, if you'll begin to praise God, you might not feel like it at the beginning, but after doing it for a while, your emotions and your feelings will catch up with that, and they will come in line with what you are experiencing spiritually. But a lot of times we wait until we feel like praising God before we praise God. You know, and I'm not being critical when I say this, but you know, a lot of times in our church services, we have to have someone who can hype us up in order to make us feel like praising God. Well, no, you ought to come to church ready to praise God. Why? Because you have been praising God privately before you ever get to a congregational environment. All right, so praise is not based on your emotions or your feelings. You don't have to feel great or even good or okay to praise the Lord. Now, I heard it said you can praise God and praise your way right out of anything. Amen? All right, so despite the many things in your life that may be or seem wrong, praise is your conscious choice because you know, listen, God is the answer to your problems. I'm going to say that again. Despite the many things in your life that may seem to be wrong, praise is your conscious choice because you know that God is the answer to your problems. You can focus on what is right, which is God and His goodness towards you, no matter what else is wrong. Listen to what David said in the 42nd Psalm, and I'm going to read verses 5 and 6 to you from the Passion Translation. And it says this, "So then, my soul, why would you be depressed? Why would you sink into despair?" Now, I love David, because if you've ever read the 103rd Psalm, David talked to himself. And he would ask himself this question, and this is in more than one psalm. You may have heard it said this way, why my soul, are you downcast? You know, he'd ask himself the question. So then, my soul, why would you be depressed? Why would you sink in despair? Just keep hoping and waiting on God, your Savior, for no matter what, listen, I will still sing with praise, for living before His face is my saving grace. Here I am depressed and downcast, yet I will still remember you as I ponder the place where your glory streams down from the mighty mountaintops, lofty and majestic, the mountains of your awesome presence. Man, sometimes you're going to have to talk to yourself and you're going to have to ask yourself the question, why am I in the dumps? Why am I depressed? Why am I discouraged? No, I'll tell you why. And listen, I'm just as guilty of this as anybody. But the reason we get down in the dumps is because we have gotten our attention off of the Word of God or off of God Himself and got it over on us, got it over on our circumstances, and that's what we're focusing on. And listen, sometimes that will put you in the dumps. And so you're going to have to take your attention off of that, get your attention over on the Lord, and begin to acknowledge what He's done in your life, who He is, the characteristics, and you're going to have to remember and do like David said, put your hope back in God. Put your expectation back in Him, because you're looking towards Him, and that's where your help is going to come from, like Psalm 121 says, "I will lift up mine eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help." My help comes from the Lord. Hallelujah. Now here's number 4. Praise is a willing sacrifice. So sometimes, maybe when you don't feel like it, praise becomes a sacrifice, and it's a willing sacrifice. You know, it's possible for you to sacrifice something and not be willing to do it. You know, maybe it's something that you just know it, you should do it, and you kind of go through the motions, and there's no heart behind it. There's no faith behind it. No, that's not the kind of sacrifice of praise that we need to offer up. No, a willing sacrifice of praise is when we make that decision, like we just said, and we make the decision, I am going to praise God. The word willing indicates a conscious decision or an act of your will. Now listen, I'm going to read three psalms, three verses from three different psalms to you. And there's more in the scripture that I'm giving you. It's all throughout the Psalms especially. But in Psalm 7, verse 17, David said this, "I will praise the Lord according to His righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High." he was making a decision. I will praise the Lord, and I will sing to the name of the Lord Most High. Over in Psalm 9 and verse 2, he said this, I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. You know, you're going to have to tell yourself, you know what, self? Get glad and let's rejoice and let's sing and let's praise God. Psalm 22 and verse 22, David said this, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. Now, listen, I'm not advocating that you praise God for people to see you and put on a show, but there will come times when people are watching you. And by the way, they are watching you. And you're going to have to praise him in the assembly when you don't feel like it. And you're going to have to offer up that sacrifice of praise and make it a conscious decision of your will. I will declare your name. You know, that's a different aspect of praising God. And that is when you acknowledge his name. You know, I encourage you, go and look up, go to Mr. Google and check out the redemptive names of God. You know, we say Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Shalom. Those are the redemptive names. And you need to understand those names of God because it's how he referred to himself through scriptures in the Old Testament. So praise becomes a sacrifice when you offer your praise to God just because he deserves it and ask you to do it and for no other reason. I'm not trying to get anything from him. I'm not trying to beg him to move in my situation. No, I just am going to take some time to praise God just because he deserves my praise. And because he's been so good to me, he's poured out his mercy in my life. He's been kind to me. And so you praise him just because of that. Psalm 54 and verse 6 says this, I will freely sacrifice to you. Now, what is that sacrifice? He goes on to say, I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. Therefore, in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, it says, therefore, by him, let us continually offer, not sometimes, not every now and then, not on Sundays, but let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Sometimes you feel like it, sometimes you don't, but you do it all the time, continually, regardless of how you feel. You may not feel like praising him, and in truth, it may be quite difficult for you to look beyond the difficulties in your life. Yet, when you choose to open your lips and speak forth your adoration, your gratitude, and your thanksgiving to God, listen, you please God. It makes his heart glad. Hallelujah. Can you imagine that? You doing something that makes the heart of the Almighty God, the creator of the universe, it pleases him and it makes his heart glad. Now, here's something you need to understand. The sacrifice of praise will not cost you any money, but it will cost you your selfishness, your self-centeredness, and your natural tendency to dwell on whatever is wrong in your life. Man, that's good. Giving God your sacrifice of praise means that you choose to dwell. You make a decision and you choose to dwell on him instead of yourself. Your mouth begins to be filled with all that is good in your life instead of everything that is bad. And when you're focusing on God, you have a lot of good in your life. This sacrifice can never be forced from you by someone else. Now, people can encourage you. You know, we have people that lead worship as an example and to be a leader for you to look to follow into the presence of God. But nobody can force you to praise God. You have to want to do that yourself. You can even be in an environment where you sing and raise your hands because someone tells you to. But an outward show is not an inward praise. Just because I raise my hands, I might close my eyes, and I might look like I'm having a deep spiritual experience with the Lord, if my heart is not in it, all I've done is an outward show instead of an inward praise from my heart because I love God. A sacrifice of praise comes from inside you. It is your will taking control over your emotions and doing what God wants and empowers you to do. Leviticus chapter 22 and verse 29 says this, "And when you offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, offer it of your own free will." One translation says, and it adds this, "because that is what is acceptable to God." Any offering that you give to God, whether it's your praise, whether it's your finances, if it is done because somebody has compelled you to, in the sense of forced you to, made you feel guilty, you know, and all of those types of things, that is really not going to be pleasing to God. It is pleasing to God because you give it with a willing heart. And when you sacrifice and offer up thanksgiving and praise to God because you want to, that's when your praise becomes acceptable to the Lord. The sacrifice that is pleasing to God is what you give from your heart, despite of what you're feeling or what your circumstances are. And then lastly, number five, praise is an expression of your faith. James chapter 2 and verse 17 in the J.B. Phillips translation says this, "Faith without corresponding actions is dead." And praise can be the corresponding actions that work hand in hand with your faith when you're believing God and standing on the Word of God and you have prayed and released your faith and you're waiting for the manifestation of that answer to show up in your life, praise becomes the corresponding action. I heard it said, faith is the highest act of praise and praise is the highest form of faith. Both are expressions of your agreement with God and His Word. Let me say that to you again. Faith is the highest act of praise because when you are leaning on and totally depending on God, you have to acknowledge and just admire what is good about Him and His power in your life in order for you to be operating in faith. And then praise is the highest form of your faith. It's another way to say it, it's the highest manifestation of your faith. You can have faith in your heart all day long, but there's not an outward manifestation of it until you praise God while you're standing in faith. When you have faith, you hold to His promise no matter what you see at the moment. And when you praise Him, you proclaim what you know to be true in spite of evidence to the contrary. See, when I find out from the Word of God that Jesus took my infirmities, He bore my sicknesses, and with His stripes I'm healed, and I pray, and if I'm dealing with sickness in my body, and I go to the Lord and I say, "Father, I see here in Your Word where it says that Jesus took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses and my pains, and with His stripes I am healed." When you see that in the Word of God, and then, "Father, I receive my healing today." And if you said, "I am healed," if I was healed, then I am healed. So from this moment forward, "Father, I thank You that I am the healed of the Lord." In Jesus' name, amen. Now, let's say you pray that and nothing changes. You don't feel any better. The circumstances haven't changed. Well, listen, you can't go back and say, "Well, I thought when I would pray that everything would change. No, this is when the sacrifice of praise comes in. Heavenly Father, oh, I just praise you, Father, that I am healed. I'm not waiting to get healed. I'm not believing you to heal me. I believe that you've already healed me by what Jesus accomplished for me at the cross. Thank you, Father, for my healing. Thank you, Lord, I am healed from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Oh God, I thank you that you're my healer. And I look to you and I praise you and I thank you that I am healed. Now you do that in spite of how you feel or in spite of what the circumstances might say to you. Let me tell you something. That is the highest form of faith. That is faith acting in the highest way. An attitude of faith during hard times is always at the core of sacrificial praise. Now listen, here's why. Because it is based in the assurance that anything is possible with God. Get rid of that question. You know, somebody asked a question in the Old Testament, is anything too hard for God? Well, it was a rhetorical question because the answer is an emphatic no. And then Jesus went on to say in the Gospels that all things are possible to him that believes. With God, nothing shall be impossible. So I don't know about you, but all means all. All means every one of them. There's not one thing that God cannot do and accomplish for you. So in other words, nothing is too hard for him. And so when you have that confidence down in your heart and that assurance that anything is possible with him, then it's easy for you to have an attitude of praise. And by the way, you know, in the middle of standing in faith, that's when you offer up that sacrifice. That's when you say, Father, I'm not moved by how I feel today. Lord, I thank you, I'm healed. Thank you, Lord, I am healed. Thank you, Father, that my needs are met. I'm not moved by what my bank account says. I thank you that my needs are met according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I'm a tither and I'm a giver, and so therefore I am qualified to receive your provision in my life. So I thank you that I am provided for. Father, I thank you that I'm blessed. I praise you that I'm the head and not the tail, that I get promotions, Father. Thank you. See, that's what praise sounds like. And so you do that even when things don't look so hot around you, when the circumstances haven't changed, they haven't budged, because here's what you need to know. Even though it might look that way in the natural, in the spirit, things are moving, things are changing, and the power of God is at work on your behalf to cause change to take place. And listen, I love the fact that when that happens and that the manifestation shows up, that gives you one more thing that you can praise God for. Man, that's another piece of ammo that you can put in your belt. And when the time is right, you can say, hey, God, I praise you because I remember what you did for me 6 months ago when you met that need, or you healed my body and I received it. And so listen, that's what you need. That's how you praise. And that's what praise looks like. And so I wanted to spend this time today to draw this and to go a little bit deeper in it than I had originally planned. And then next week, we're going to talk about worship. What is worship? Because a lot of people get the two mixed up. And even though they're connected, and even though one can lead into the other, it doesn't have to. And you can operate in worship without necessarily having to go into praise, but it makes it easier to go from praise into worship. But we'll talk about that next week. Amen. Did you receive this today? I know you did. I know I've got a bunch of praisers that are watching this video, people that love to praise God. And so I'm glad that I do. Let me pray and conclude the sermon today. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word that we've heard today. Oh, thank you, Father, for the powerful tool that we have in praise and being able to lift you up, to honor you, to glorify you, to It acknowledge the good things that you are and do in our lives. And Father, I thank you for that. And Father, I just pray that we would continue to get a revelation of the power in that. You know, and I'm prompted, this just came up in my heart. What we're talking about today and next week is the atmosphere of heaven. You need to know that. And when you tap into that here in the earth, you're letting a little bit of heaven into your world. You're letting heaven infiltrate into your situation, into your life, into your home, into your environment when you spend time in praise and worship. And so I wanted you to, or not me, but the Spirit of God wanted you to know that. And so I wanted to say that to you. But I love you so much. And listen, if you have never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, why not do it today? I can't think of a better time. You know, the scripture says that today is the day of salvation. Jesus has already paid the price for you. We're going to be celebrating his resurrection in a couple of weeks. And the good news is he did die on a cross. He shed his blood for you and for me, and he paid the price. But thank God on the third day he did get up, that he is alive. He is resurrected from the dead, and that he is seated at the right hand of the Father. And the way we get born again, we get saved, is not by joining a church. That comes after, or that comes at the same time, but it's there. The two aren't connected. In other words, joining a church is not a qualification to be saved. We join a church because we are saved. But again, Jesus did the work. And so Romans 10 tells us all we have to do is believe that in our heart, and receive the price, the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, believe in our hearts that he was raised from the dead, and then take ourselves off the throne of our lives and put Jesus on the throne and make him Lord. I want to invite you to do that today. Let me tell you, it's the best decision that you could possibly make. Would you pray with me today? Just say this simple prayer. Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I need a Savior today. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus died for me. And I believe with all my heart that he was raised from the dead. Now, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Wash me in your blood. Make me clean and holy. I make you the Lord of my life. I take myself off the throne and I put you on the throne of my life. Forgive me of my past and give me a brand new start. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for cleansing me. Now fill me to the full and overflowing with the power of your Holy Spirit. I thank you for it, and I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Now, friend, if you prayed that prayer with me, the good news is you just got born again. You are right with God. Your sins have been washed away. All of them are gone. And in the name of Jesus, you now stand right and clean before a holy heavenly Father. And Jesus said that when one sinner repents, the angels rejoice. So there's a little bit of a party going on in heaven right now because of the decision that you just made. And listen, we love you. We're proud of you. And we want to celebrate with you. So I want to ask you to do something for me. If you would let me know that you prayed that prayer, we're not going to harass you or bombard you, but we just want to know so we can pray for you. We can celebrate with you. So shoot me an email at mystory, M-Y-S-T-O-R-Y, one word, at springhill.cc, and let me know that you prayed that prayer, that you gave your heart to Jesus. And I want to just tell you how much I love you. I'll be praying for you and believing God, because you have just embarked on a life that you can hardly imagine, because it is good and filled with God's goodness. And so we love you so much, and I thank you for doing that.
Thanks once again for tuning in to the Spring Hill Church podcast. We hope that you have been blessed by today's message. If you would like more information about the church, please feel free to visit us at springhill.cc.